Welcome to Southview Stories, bringing you memorable stories from the leaders and best. As always, I'm here with my producer, Mason. Mason, how was your Thanksgiving?
Scrumptious.
That's great. Good to hear. This week, we braved the weather and the construction to set up shop on North University to interview Bud Vandaway Jr., known to many of us in the Ann Arbor community as Buddy. The Vandaway family were longtime stewards of the iconic Ann Arbor business, Moe's Sports Shops, one that I had the honor of being a small part of for some years as well. And Moe's really introduced some memorable stories into the not only the Ann Arbor ecosystem, the U of M ecosystem, but the apparel world in general. And we had Buddy on this week to talk about a few of those great stories. But first, shout out to our sponsors, Underground Printing. Visit us at undergroundshirts.com for all your custom apparel needs, groups, businesses, organizations, or just a gift. And Destination Ann Arbor, promoting the Ann Arbor area as a destination of choice for travelers and any visitors. Visit annarbor.org to learn more about where to stay and what to do when you're here. And now, Bud Vandaway Jr. I'm here on North University in Ann Arbor with my guest, very special guest today, Bud Vandaway Jr., Buddy, as I will probably refer to him because that's what I've known him for many years now. And Buddy was, along with his father, Bud Vandaway Sr., were the proprietors of Moe's Sports Shop, which I was also honored to be a steward of for 7 years as well. And then passing it along to the MDN for a couple years before, unfortunately, Moe's was shut down. But I look fondly back on those times. I know Buddy does too. And specifically regarding the history and the stories that were surrounding this amazing establishment, this amazing centennial business that was located in Ann Arbor. And so I wanted to have Buddy on today to talk a little bit about some of those stories and some of the history of Moe's Sports Shops. And thanks for coming on, Buddy.
It's fun to circle back. It's been 9 quick years since we walked away after, you know, our family was in it for 46 years. Yeah. was my dad's full tenure there, and mine was 17. So,
yep. Along with a short stint as the head varsity women's basketball coach.
Yep,
right?
Yep. That was a stop prior to. Yeah. But it's a pretty special time in my life here. So it's nice to reconnect to it. It's amazing how you can go that many years of being involved in something, and then it's in a place in town that I don't need to come here very often.
Right.
And so when I do drive up here and you stand out in front of it, you kind of just stare at it and you go, wow, I was there for 17 years and grew up with that.
Yeah.
And it's similarly a feeling when I stare at Chrysler Arena, because
right.
I had my time there, but it was 16 years total from being a JV player to a manager to a men's assistant coach and a women's coach.
Yeah.
And you stare at it and you go, wow, I was there for a very long time. And then, you know, it's, anyways,
that's awesome. No, 100%.
It's exciting to revisit it because it's a wonderful time of life.
And I think as we got to know each other and as when we took over from you, you know, I think one of the things that made an impression on me the most was your respect for the history and your ability to tell the stories that made Moe's what it was. And for me, it was my duty to continue to do that. And as I was telling you earlier, is a little bit of the genesis of this podcast for me, is that, you know, my love of stories and history, especially of this town, this university and the people in it, is why I'm, you know, want to do this now. So some of those stories are cool and quirky for those of us in retail. We love those stories, but there were some very powerful, impactful stories. And I was wondering if you could tell a few of them, starting with the birthplace of collegiate apparel.
Well, Champion Custom Products, as it's known now, was the classic, I suppose the word would be, quintessential American company,
yeah.
right? This was Rochester, New York, athletic apparel, just the basic of the basics. And it was all American made, you know, and sadly that tale has been told many times over about that changing.
Right.
But at that time, you know, that it had its own rich tradition as an American athletic apparel provider. Well, they made a product back then. It was called the reverse weave sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. And basically it was like a double weight sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. And, it became very, very popular with students here because it was the kind of thing that, believe it or not, especially women loved to wear it because it was like a big, almost over garment.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
it was the,
especially for cold Michigan winter.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was the one that you'd see, you know, big athletic football players wear, and it just had XXL on it, you know, no name, no nothing.
Nothing,
right.
Anything other than the size it was.
Zero. Right. Right. I mean, that's literally what we're talking about here. Just this basic stuff, but that had a very cool appeal to it. Believe it or not, there was with my dad when he was here, he had a young lady that came from New York. She was just a young lady from New York, a student, but you know, we all know that from a fashion sense, a lot of things come out of New York and those kids that grow up there. And he would be the very first to make sure that you knew that that's where it came from. Mm-hmm. She just said one day, you know, these sweatshirts are really cool. We should be doing more with these, because they were at the time very expensive because there was a lot of thick material associated with these. She says, but hey, all my friends, we love these. We should put Michigan on this. And I kid you not, that's how it started for us here. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, sure, let's try some, because back then we had the heat transfers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, your business has evolved from.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
back then, you know, you had the ink on a piece of paper.
Press
you had
it, press it down.
Yeah, the hot iron press. So,
yeah.
You know what? Let's make about a dozen or so transfers with just straight Michigan on them in Navy. We'll put it on the gray shirt and press them. That's where it started, just that way.
That's crazy.
And these shirts were the ones that people, and probably they were getting a lot in years now, but they would have them. People would wear them when they got frayed and stretched out, because that almost made them cooler. You know,
and prior to this time, there was no collegiate apparel. There weren't you wouldn't find Michigan State, Iowa, Illinois on apparel. Uh-huh. You're just walking around with it. Maybe athletes had a few, but it definitely wasn't for sale.
It was athletic issued.
It was athletic issued, right?
Exactly. And so they just tried that out. So Champion, actually, they had a I think the word is corporate manifesto, or their story, and Mo's was in that story.
Yeah.
They attributed it to there.
Yeah.
You
know, they saw the sales there.
Oh yeah.
They took it to other Big Ten schools, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and so it is one of those now quiet stories that gets buried.
Yeah.
But you know, right here. And now you look at the industry that is and it's astounding.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was going to get there at some day, you know what I mean?
100%.
It was going to get there, but at least we know now that we had an authentic piece of that heritage.
It was going to get there, but it started here. And that's a testament to this town. It's a testament to U of M.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where this idea of like property of so-and-so athletics came, because it literally was the property of that. This wasn't like a cool slogan or saying, right?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I think that story is, it's one of the ones I love to trumpet from the rooftops. I love to tell. I love to tell that it started in Ann Arbor, and I love to say that it started at Moe's.
Yeah, and it was a groundswell. It was a cool thing to wear, you know. And
there is other, I mean, like, and we talked a little about this earlier. I mean, Moe's was the birthplace of other innovations in the apparel game. And, you know, maybe we're a little nerdy about it ourselves, but the referee uniform, as we know it now, the striped referee uniform birthed out of Moe's Sports Shop, a pioneer in retail purchasing and buying, where you didn't have to point behind a counter and ask for something, where you could go hand and touch and feel and shop yourself and take, you know, try stuff on. That happened at Moe's Sports Shop.
Well, yeah, so you the other thing is that referee innovation happened too. But remember, the birthplace, the reason why the Michigan helmet looks the way it is because it's a visual thing.
Right.
It wasn't decoration. It just wasn't a great idea. Like, oh, this would be a fun design. It was so that the quarterback literally could see the players.
Right.
In regardless of weather situation. So that it's interesting that there's a symmetry to those two stories that in the same town where that innovation happened from Michigan football.
Right.
The referee innovation happened because that's exactly what it was. It's a visual thing. They needed to be seen. Where are they?
Yeah.
They're in the field of play.
Yeah.
So, you know, those stories kind of coming together, I think are pretty cool. And, you know, again, that was back in the day when, you know, George J. Moe Sporting Goods was, in fact, Sporting Goods.
Yes.
Just as MDN, as we know it, was Stein & Gates Sporting Goods. So you had Stein & Gates Sporting Goods that was in the Main Street district, and you had Moe Sports Shop that was up here in the State Street district.
And that's a great segue, because I think one of the other points that you've always impressed upon me was this idea of the community behind the retail in Ann Arbor. You know, we're in a day and age of Amazon and Walmart, big business, online fanatics, huge sales, Nike.
Yeah.
But at the time when your dad was pioneering the store and in his heyday, there was a community around the retail that I'm really passionate about.
Well, yeah, everybody had a role, and everybody, in effect, at that time, it was a way of respecting their role. Nobody thought about, like, venturing into somebody else's territory. That is not to say zero negativity associated with how things evolve. Yeah. Things naturally do evolve.
Sure.
We get that. There's nothing about that. But there was something cool about, right behind me in this building was Lee Pickett and the Campus Jeweler right there. And believe it or not, this was a stereo and hi-fi right behind me. His name was Vern Pierce. So Lee and Vern and Bud knew each other. Then you moved down the way. You go around the corner, there was Marty Bush, which was Marty's men's apparel. George Wild had Wild men's apparel. Van Boven, still here as Van Boven. It's very much evolved if you walk in there now. But then there was Pete Van Boven, right? Then there was John Leidy, the gift store. These guys, they all had lunch. So the breakfast crew down at Frank's restaurant was Bud up at the front counter, Bud, George Leidy, every morning. In fact, where they put Bud's name on a stool because he sat there, and then nobody else could go in there and sit in that stool. Literally, if somebody else did, the guy who's Pete Poulos, he said, "Hey, you to some other whatever patron it was, I'm sorry, you're going to have to move. That's Bud's seat." So he would come in, but again, you know, George was there, and George always got the peanut butter and pickle sandwich because that's what he ate every day when he went in there. You know. And it was just everybody had their place. And then Thano's Lamplighter was the lunch spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the State Farm guys come in. George Palmy and Clem Gill came in. Every now and then, a basketball coach would drop in. Johnny Orr used to go down there, sit at the back table. There was the mailman. Oh, gosh, I can't remember his name. Bob. Bob Stanky always came in, and he always had a joke of the day. So Bob was going to walk back, set his mailbag down.
Yeah.
Everybody, Frank Malley, the dentist, that was just right around the corner. This was a neighborhood of retail and businesses, and everybody knew that was the sporting goods guy, but Bud's got Moe's.
Yeah.
And everybody had their place.
Yeah.
Right. And I do look back on that as being very, very special because it's an era that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I never say that in bitterness, because things do evolve. They have to evolve, just like the collegiate license business. It absolutely exploded to where you experienced this. Moe's is 1,600 square feet.
Yeah.
1,600 square feet represents a section in the other stores.
Absolutely.
Right? Just simply a section now. You just simply could not, you know, now there are so many products being made that there was no way that you could ever remain in that business with that. Anyways, as you can tell, I get really excited talking about all this, because it, you know, what's really great about the history we have is we had it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And nobody can ever change that. And you were a part of an era that can never be repeated.
Right.
And will not be repeated.
And I think it's a romantic. I mean, we like to think back about that type of time when there were these retailers and they all knew each other. And there was they were all having lunch together. And you know, it's shows like Mad Men. And they like bring that back. They bring that nostalgia back. And I do think to some degree, we have to know about it. That's why I love when you would tell me those stories. And then why I want to retell those stories here.
Yeah.
Just that they existed, they were there, and we can learn from them.
It was like Pleasantville, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The sun came up every day, and the guys came out, and we're sweeping out in front of our store. And by the way, there's Drake's there too, which I forgot about too, which is part Drake's and Moe's were kind of, you know, brother sister businesses.
Yep.
And they were the candy shop, and they did coffee before coffee blew up.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Before there was coffee like we know it now. Yeah.
Right. As we know it now. So it was special. And as you and I talked, what was exciting when you and Ryan came and got associated with Moses, because it meant a lot to people like us that lived that, mm-hmm. that the people that were getting the baton understood that and
right.
and respected it and paid homage to it, which was really nice. Because
right.
like I told you a few minutes ago, while we left the business 9 years ago, it's still hard. You know, when you see it, it's
yeah.
You know, you look up at the building, yeah. and you just kind of wish it was still that way. But you know,
and while you know, it's not there, you know, I think we're still telling the stories.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm wearing my most 100-year shirt. We keep it alive, and I think to some degree that's what this is all about.
It is. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time, buddy. I appreciate it. It was great to see
you again.
Great to talk to you.
It was fun. Yeah.
Talk soon. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.